B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub. They get you going.
In fairness, we have to make up for not watching the game.
Every day.
I might watch a baking show.
Toucher and Rich.
What do you expect me to do? Watch every basketball game?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. And Eddie, big week off there. And now everyone's, I would take it everyone's back until Thanksgiving. And then Rich usually has about 5 weeks off for Christmas. Saves him.
Like a good Catholic.
He saves him. So we can sit in Nantucket in the winter.
Pretty much. It's not too bad in the winter. Doesn't suck.
Did you get a blow-up hot tub I saw?
I did. So we've been thinking about getting, you know, a hot tub for a while, but every time I'm about to pull the trigger, I'm like, dude, these things are expensive.
I got a hot tub.
I know.
You know how much I use it?
Never.
No.
Well, that was the other fear. It's like, am I going to spend however much it is, $6,000, $7,000?
Like $7,000.
Yeah, like $7,000 bucks and never use it. And I just, I think this was one of those like 2:30 in the morning on like a Saturday night purchases, and I just started like going through, and I found the inflatable hot tub section of the internet, and sure enough, there was this one that was like just a couple $100, and it was like had like 5,000 5-star reviews on like Amazon. I'm like, all right, I'm all in, and I get this thing, and it takes like, you know, 30 minutes to set up. It's basically just like an above ground pool essentially. It's just you inflate it. And then it's got a little motor on the side of it that heats it up, a little heater. And you just let it sit overnight and heat up. And, dude, that thing is one of the best purchases I have made in a long
time. Right now it is. And talk to me in a few months.
Okay, in a few. Dude, I paid a couple $100. So let's say it only lasts till the end of the year. Who cares? You get yourself a hot tub for 6 months for a couple $100? Hell yeah.
Lots of chemicals. Lots of chemicals required.
Well, so
and that's the thing is when you don't use it, like we haven't used ours. We used it a little bit in the winter because it's kind of cool because you go in and it's all cold.
Oh, yeah.
And you go in and you're all hot. And then you come out and you're not cold in the cold.
Yeah.
You know, that's like that's the big selling point is that you get out of it. It gets so hot and you get out of it and you're smoking. Like you got smoke coming off of you.
That's
the neat thing. But then you don't use it for like 3 months and who knew that like just water sitting there could grow so much garbage in it?
I know.
Like it just who knew that just standing water was just this sea of debris, and I think it made my son sick.
Yeah. Oh.
Like my son like got like crazy diarrhea, and the only thing that we could point to it is that my son and I had been in this pool.
I'm not saying that I'm looking forward to what it can become over the next several months, but I did buy my little pH strips where you tested my bro and I tested. So I'm like a scientist over there with this bunch of burners.
Yeah, and you'll do that all the time because there's you'll stay on top of that. There's no, because that's something that you really, like, God bless people with pools that just don't have someone come over and do it. Because, I mean, the idea of, like, sitting, I'm not doing any of that.
It's 15 seconds, Fred. You dip it in, and then you compare the color to the back of the little thing.
You're going to stay true to that for how long?
And until it explodes. I don't know. Maybe until the end of the year, at least.
All right.
The end of the year.
He's going to be, like, 10 grand deep in
these. The bromine tablets?
No, he's going to be he's going to be 10 grand deep in these inflatable hot tubs. He's going to have to keep buying them.
Well, I knew it was a sign of good things to come when I open it up and I see, what are these little stickers they gave me? Oh, they're patches for the eventual explosion of my inflatable hot tub. But I'll tell you what, for the week that I used it, that sucker ruled. That thing was amazing. It's even got the bubbles you press in.
All right. So I was in Tennessee, which because we've tried to find a place in Newport. And everything was sold out. I mean, just people were traveling. So we had spent 2 weeks in Tennessee, and then we had 3.5 weeks not there, and then we were back in Tennessee. And the dynamic there is really something to behold, because it's my kids getting pissed at me, my wife getting pissed at me, my parents getting pissed at me, and it's this big circle with just me in the middle of it of everyone getting pissed. So on Saturday. This I will say, is this is the place I'm retiring. These people, the lifestyles they live, they got 10 things happening a day. I will tell you this, my parents never did anything. when I was growing up. Like, literally, like, my dad did nothing. Mm-hmm. And now they're, like, partying the day away.
Is this place like the Villages?
Oh, yeah, it's exactly
like the Villages. Swinging everywhere?
Yeah, it's just one-bedroom condos, and everyone is having sex all over the place. I would imagine, you know what, I had lunch at the clubhouse of one of the golf courses a couple times, and I got a vibe that maybe there's a little swinging thing happening.
Fred, there's no question. I mean, my mother doesn't live at a Villages or like that, but I mean, it's a place where older people all live, and there's no doubt that they are dropping the keys in the punch bowl or dropping the keys in, I guess, the golf cart.
I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people in this. And it's not a retirement community. There's a ton of retirees, but it's not a retirement community per se.
Yeah.
But, I would assume that they got nothing to do. I mean, they're free all day. They're probably having sex. Not my parents. I can tell you that. So Saturday, it's going to be a raft off, which is where you drive to a cove on the lake in your boat, uh-huh. and then you park it next to other boats, and you all sit there. All right. So my daughter, out of nowhere, has developed this extreme phobia of boats, which is fantastic. I don't know why. I don't know how. But we felt, as responsible parents, we couldn't let her just not do it. We have to, you know, it's safe.
Yeah.
So, first of all, preparing for this raft off is like my dad preparing to go to NAMM. Like, he's so nervous because he has to pull the boat. He doesn't want to look like an a-hole in front of, like, the other boaters.
Sure.
So he has to pull this boat off. So he's all paranoid. My daughter's freaking out. We go and we do the raft off, and then we get back on the boat, and my daughter's a little nervous, and we get about 10 feet from the other boats, and my dad's motor dies on his boat.
Oh, boy.
So now my daughter's in a complete panic, and my father is in a complete panic, and he goes, "Do you have these people's phone numbers?" So the people, I mean, I can see their boats. I mean, we're probably 100 yards away from them. I can still see the boats with the people.
Yeah.
So my mom grabs her phone. Neither of them, they're so out of their minds, neither of them can operate the phone. So I go and I go, "Let me have the phone number." And I start dialing it. And my mom starts asking these idiotic questions. So I go, "Shut up, shut up, shut up, shut up." Now my wife is pissed at me for telling my mom to shut up. So my daughter's having a panic attack. My dad's having a panic attack. My wife is pissed at me for telling my mom to shut up. And my mom is babbling these inane questions at me. Finally, we get these dudes, these two dudes, to go and tow the boat in. And now my daughter is freaking out the entire time. And these dudes keep going, "Is this where you live? Is this where you live?" "No." "Way further." And so they ended up having to tow us 2 miles.
Oh man.
So we get, but it works out. So we get to the dock. I jump in the water. And these two dudes just take off. They're like, "You're home. Bye." And they just take off. But you should have seen me. I was tying boat knots and tying the rope in. I had to jump in the water and then get out and then pull the boat. And at the end of it, everyone yelled at me.
You know, you did a lot of the work.
Because I kept saying, and then I'm like, "Hey, like, how about me, right? Like, I tied the knots that kept the boat, like, that they could tow the boat with. Like, I tied the knots on the boat."
Yeah.
And these guys, the guys who towed us in, hate me because I'm the one, because my parents are completely like, "Bah." So I have to tell them where to go. I
mean, these guys also probably had an assumption that it was going to be a lot closer than where they ended up going.
They had an assumption that they weren't going to have to tow a boat, and I can tell you that.
And were they doing this just kind of to be nice?
Yes.
That's the thing, it sucks.
And my parents don't really know them.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were just kind of these dudes that my parents don't really know. And so the minute we got there, they just took off.
Yeah,
like,
see you, man. We got places to be.
Yeah, they didn't like ask for anything or anything. They didn't say like, "Hey, how you doing?" They were just like, "We're going."
Yeah.
And like, and when I jump into the water, and my dad, now we're not attached to them, and they've let go of the boat, and my dad's boat like lightly like taps their boat, and my dad starts screaming at me like, Freddie, like, what do you want me to do? Like, how do you want me?" Like, there's this thing with boats that, like, they can't touch. like nothing happened. It would be the same as if you like parked your car in a parking lot, like, and lightly touched the other car's bumper.
Sure.
And he's like yelling at me. And so I go, hey, everybody, like, I'm pretty much a hero here. Like, look at me. Like, I did all this stuff.
I'm not guy.
And, yeah, I was tying boat knots and everything under the sun. Like, I'm a real seaman. And my wife, furious at me still because she doesn't like the way that my parents and I talk to each other. My father is pissed at me because he couldn't get on the boat out of the water. So I was pulling him and he fell. So he's pissed at me. My mom's pissed that Stephanie's pissed at me. My daughter is recovering from a panic attack, and my son's the only one that will talk to me. so it took an hour and a half to tow the boat in.
So all of this was just so you could go sit next to other boats and have a sandwich?
There's no sandwiches.
Okay. I could see if it's one of those things where you're with like a bunch of your friends and it's like, you know, Cocktail Cove, you know, you're doing it that way. What do you do if it's your family?
It's the other boats and they talk and they get in the water.
Wow.
It's boat and talk.
Sounds like fun.
It's a social thing. What fun am I having?
Oh, that's a good point.
Like, really, John, what fun am I having?
You're right.
No, it's always...
I'm not allowed to drink. I'm not allowed to do any... What fun am I having?
Sitting there getting a suntan, I guess.
Like, I mean, yeah, you take the boat, and then you jump in the water, and everyone... And then my parents get to talk to their friends.
It's really just this fills the schedule, isn't it? It's not even about fun. It's like, this will take this amount of time, and it fills the schedule.
This kills 3 hours this
is
the day.
That's life. I mean, this is essentially what life
schedule.
Is. Yeah, when you have kids, that's what life is. But it is amazing, the dynamic. And then everyone's like, why are you in such a bad mood? Why are you under such... I go, do you see the dynamic of all of this? Everyone, like, my parents don't get mad at Stephanie. Stephanie doesn't say anything to my parents. My kids don't really, you know, them and my parents, like, it's, you know, they don't see him all the time, so it's different. The only common denominator is everyone can get mad at me. And so that's the whole thing. So even when I save the day, I walk out of there like the biggest a-hole in the world.
Even when you tie the knots, everyone still hates you.
I jumped out of the boat, got onto the dock, took the boat, and physically, using the leverage of the poles of the dock, pulled the boat into the dock. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. And I did all of that.
Other than telling your mom to shut up, did you do anything else?
Oh,
that
yes,
might
I
be
did.
Borderline?
Oh, this is the best.
Okay.
So my mom is... So the guys have dropped us off. Now we are untethered from anything.
Yeah.
And the guys want to get the hell out of there. Mm-hmm. So my mom's like going, blah, 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 blah. Like, we owe you lunch, blah, 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 blah. We are untethered.
Yeah.
I go, Mom! Like, I have to throw her a rope.
Yeah.
Mom. And I go, Mom! And she turns around, and I throw her the rope. Stephanie did not like that. She thought that I was yelling at my mom. And then my mom...
Your boat's probably slowly drifting away.
Well, no, they were... Like, how do you get her attention? Like you could ram the other boat. There's other boats on the cove. So I said, like... And then so I had to have my mom explain to Stephanie, like, I had to get her attention. And the only way, like, we don't talk to Stephanie's mom. We haven't for, like, years. Like, we never see her dad. Her sister said terrible things to me. But
another one.
But a thing is that, like, for some reason, my family, in her eyes, is this huge dysfunctional family where people are yelling at each other. I'm like, that's because we see them.
That's right. That's what happens when family members actually have FaceTime with each other.
Yeah, you yell. Yeah,
it happens every once in a while.
Yeah, you yell at them.
You should have just bought an inflatable hot tub and you wouldn't have had any of these issues. We wouldn't have had to go to Cocktail Cove.
For the raft off, everyone else is. It's easy. They don't feel the pressure. The touchers put a lot of pressure on ourselves. And it's good to see my daughters getting into it, too. My daughter's starting to feel the tremendous anxieties that come with being a toucher.
Start them young.
Yeah.
She's 11, right?
Oh, yeah.
Perfect.
Yep.
Right before the teenage years, that's when you really want to ramp it up.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's when it about started happening with me.
Oh, good.
So I don't know how to handle it, but, you know. So that's like, in like, I will snap there, and then they'll go, why are you snapping? And I'll go, again, it all revolves around me. It all revolves around me. Everyone's very interested in what I'm doing. Leave me alone. All right, Jeff Howe will join us. We have not talked to Jeff Howe. Rich and I have not since the big move. We will discuss that in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Dub. They get you going. They get you going every day.
He looks worse than me. Way worse than me.
Toucher and Rich.
And I don't look good.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You are going to see similarities to this offense of when Tom Brady ran this offense. They are turning the page on Tom Brady and then opening up the Mac Jones chapter. But Josh McDaniels, the way he's developed him, the good offensive coordinator and quarterback coach that he is, has Mac Jones ready to go. And New England fans are just ecstatic to see this. And they're going to see some similarities that they're used to seeing for the last two decades.
98.5 Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Jeff Howe, who has said all along that Mac Jones has outperformed Cam Newton in camp. He covers the Patriots for TheAthletic.com. He joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Jeff, is this still an accurate description of you, that you cover the Patriots for The Athletic, or a big thing?
Still accurate. Still accurate.
Okay. One day it will not be, right?
We'll see. We'll see.
All right. Very proud of Jeff. But he's very humble. Very humble. All right, so you knew, you said it all along, and I saw that you had brought up some tweets that you had put out during training camp that you believe, you know, Mac Jones had outperformed Cam Newton. And was the decision entirely based on that, in your opinion, is just Mac Jones was the better quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what it comes down to. That's the easy way to go about it. And I know the COVID stuff certainly has to come into play, but look, I mean, he was the better quarterback, and that's not a hot take or reaching for anything or whatever. I mean, I caught some heat on Twitter from people who were like, oh, well, you know, you wrote the day before that it's looking like it's going to be Cam Newton.
But it's different.
You know what? It was.
Yeah, that's completely different. Exactly. You believing that Cam Newton would be the starter is based on evidence of, you know, he was playing with the stars. But that doesn't discredit the fact that you thought that Mac Jones was the better quarterback.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for seeing it my way. But yeah, I mean, he took some lumps the first three practices of training camp when he was completing just 50% of his passes in team drills, and Cam Newton looked like the veteran, and he certainly looked like a rookie in the first padded practice. But as we saw, you know, kind of looking at it from 30,000 feet, that was one bad practice in the middle of an incredibly hot week that Mac Jones was having. And this was somebody who improved with every sort of hurdle or checked box that you kind of wanted him to cross off along the way. I mean, he got better in the joint practices. He got better when he was playing the Patriots' first team defense. I think a lot of people were reading into it too peripherally, that just because Mac Jones was going second in these drills meant that he was going against the second team defense. No, throughout all of training camp, with the exception of like one practice in Philly, their reps against the starters were divided, you know, just about fairly evenly. And since August 4th, Mac Jones had outperformed Cam Newton when playing against the Patriots starting defense, as well as the Giants and Eagles starting defenses. I mean, this was, you talk about six fully padded practices, or I'm sorry, six competitive practices at the end of camp against the Patriots starting defense and 11 on 11. Mac Jones is completing 75% of his passes. And that's, I'm making the Brady comparison, but for reference, those are Brady numbers in practice. So this was somebody who was clearly getting a lot more comfortable as the month went on. And this isn't a situation where, all right, you know, just because he started to play well, we've seen his ceiling. I think because he has improved so rapidly over the last month, you're going to continue to get a better product as the season goes on, too.
Okay, but Jeff, the one thing that worries me is that if you think in the preseason, at least during the games, of Mac Jones's best passes, a lot of them were dropped by his receiving core. You take a look at the guys are around. I mean, honestly, I mean, it's some of the best like dimes that he threw either fell on their hands, hit their hands, or just they weren't able to complete. They weren't able to complete the pass. Also, the tight ends were barely used. Is this almost a fair place to put Mac Jones, where it doesn't quite seem outside of Jacoby Myers like he's got a ton of help out there?
Well, you know, it's interesting because not just the drops. I mean, you bring up Myers. I mean, Mac Jones' first pass of the preseason was complete, and it was ruled incomplete and would have come back on replay, and Belichick didn't challenge it. Like, there were some weird things that kind of messed with Mac Jones' preseason numbers. But beside that, you know, the bigger point, you're right. There is a bit of a learning curve that's going to be had with the tight ends. Now, he worked more with Jonnu Smith as training camp went on. There was, I think it was Hunter Henry's first practice back in the red jersey when he was participating in 7-on-7, still hadn't been cleared in 11s. But Mac Jones and Hunter Henry connected for 3 touchdowns in a red zone period. So, you know, the small things like that. And then you mentioned the drops. I mean, I thought it was interesting. So Mac Jones goes 35 of 40 in that first padded practice against the Giants. And then the next day, people were kind of like, oh, he went just 10 of 19 in his touchdown drive. I looked at that a totally different way. Don't look at 10 of 19. Look at these guys coming back-to-back practices, 90-plus degree heat, humidity, 2.5-hour session the previous day, and he's got 3 drops. Some people said there was a fourth, whether it was Nelson Agholor allowed a ball to get broken up too easily on the sideline or whatever. But this is a kid who was dealing with a situational scrimmage, has 3, maybe 4 drops over the course of a long drive, has 2 conversions on 3rd down, 2 conversions on 4th down, and gets the team in the end zone. So I don't care that it was 10 of 19. This was a guy who dealt with adversity in a number of different ways. His teammates weren't really picking him up, and you know they still found a way to score. And I think the adversity that he's going to deal with, you know, that's a drill where, you know what, he goes 3 and out. Who knows what happens the rest of the practice, but, you know, they still just sort of kept plugging away at it. I thought that was a character drive, and it was a very, very small scope into, you know, his Mac Jones makeup.
How much do you think the talent of the offensive line factored into Bill Belichick's decision-making in regards to Jones and Newton?
Yeah, that's huge. And that's a really good point, because when you bring in a rookie quarterback, a lot of times, you know, people want to say, oh, this percentage of rookie quarterbacks have failed or are no longer with their original team, you know, first-round picks and yada, yada, yada. Those guys are brought into terrible situations with bad supporting casts and, most importantly, more often than not, a bad offensive line. You know, these guys are put into situations where they are forced to start because they're a top 5, top 10 pick. Well, they were a top 5 or a top 10 pick for a reason. It's because their team sucked last year. And the Patriots have a top 5 offensive line, in my opinion. Who knows? By the end of the season, if they're healthy, they could be the best offensive line in football. I think they're that good. And they've got 2 quality backups, too. So they've got some depth there. So this is a situation where, you know, they can trust their top 5 to protect Mac Jones as well as possible. And because he can get the ball out quickly, you know, when things start to break down or when guys start to get hurt, you know, you can trust this kid to make quicker reads, or at least, you know, work with McDaniels and trying to make sure he knows where his help is if things do start to break down.
All right, so Jeff, kind of putting a bow on everything that happened this past week with Cam and Mac, there was a report that Rob Ninkovich was on one of those podcasts where I don't know where you hear it or where it is, but, you know, it's kind of like the McCourty thing. It's just it exists.
Yeah,
But he said something that I thought was really interesting. I don't know if he's reporting it or this is what he had heard, is that apparently Cam Newton was learning the playbook from Mac Jones. Like, Mac Jones was teaching Cam Newton the Patriots playbook. Do you know anything about that? And was there any kind of indication that you saw that indeed Mac had a better mastery of those plays than Cam Newton did?
Well, I think by performance, you could certainly make that argument. The other thing is, Rob Ninkovich was at practice at least once during training camp, and he was there as more of a guest of the team than in a media capacity. So he's still got plenty of friends on that roster.
Yeah.
I mean, there is enough overlap there. So I mean, if he's going with it, I would trust his information just because I know how well liked and respected he is in that locker room with a number of those guys. But I know, look, Mac Jones is a smart kid, and he works at it, you know, showing up at Gillette Stadium at 4:30 every morning. He's there for 16 to 18 hours a day. I mean, we were talking about it a few days after he got drafted, and you know, we were kind of talking about like some of the stories that made him who he was along the way. And I know you guys kind of gave me some crap about that soccer story, how corny it was.
Come on.
Like, there were some.
He was nursed until the age of seven.
Right.
Football in his hand.
It's kind of funny that, you know, there were some things along the way that kind of are like a peek behind the curtain with his character. So,
sure.
You know, him coming in and mastering the playbook that quickly is not a surprise to me.
Wow. Well, that's, I mean, I saw that report from Rob Ninkovich, and I didn't know if that was him. It sure didn't sound like he was speculating, but knowing that he's there at the practice, and you're right, he is close to a lot of those guys. That's interesting to me, especially after everything we had heard about the selling point of Cam Newton was that now he's finally got, you know, he jumped right in there. He was thrown into the fire at the beginning of last season, and now he's going to be a master of it all, and we're seeing behind the scenes that's not the case.
Well, I also think if someone told Ninkovich that, I mean, the person on the team was obviously like, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
unless,
like,
Fred, this is the classic player who is no longer on the team smear campaign, which we've seen many times when someone is underway.
All I know is the Patriots
not from
offense,
Rob, but from someone inside the organization.
Just take a look at the offense last year. Patriots offense wasn't exactly complex last year, Jeff, right? I mean, with Cam Newton as the quarterback.
No, it was boring to watch.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, and that's why it was so, I mean, that's why they struggled down the end, toward the end of the season. I mean, just look at that Rams game. Look at the things that the Rams did defensively to make sure the Patriots didn't get into the end zone. And, you know, using Jalen Ramsey as a quarterback spy because they didn't trust Cam Newton to throw to the wide receivers, or because they didn't think enough of the wide receivers to cover him with their top cornerback. So, you know, it's a little bit of the chicken or the egg type of scenario there. But, yeah, I mean, there are – and you know what? To play devil's advocate, you know, there could have been one anecdote where a veteran walked in and saw Mac Jones teaching him a very small portion of the playbook, like one play or whatever like that. And maybe it gets blown out of proportion. But, again, just going off of everything I've learned about Mac Jones, not just this past month, but the last 4 or 5 months, and this is a very, very smart kid who's ahead of his game or ahead of his time, just in terms of a rookie and being able to process such a complicated offense.
All right. Well, Jeff Howe, good stuff. And we appreciate the time as always, sir.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. So we'll be right back here at the headline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
And
that's got to be a soul-killing exercise.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I got some inside sources now in the actual building. From everything that I understand now, Mac was basically helping Cam learn the playbook. So imagine that.
I don't
learn that. Learn that. Learn that right now.
I don't know about that.
Absorb it. Learn it. Because Mac was having less MEs, mental errors. That's what an ME is in football, mental errors. He was having less mental errors in having a better understanding of the offense. We didn't see Cam run any 2-minute. We didn't see him run any no huddle.
He was with the first team.
You have to run no huddle. That's vital.
All right, that is Rob Ninkovich. We were just talking about that with Jeff Howe saying that Mac Jones was essentially teaching Cam Newton how to run the plays from the Patriots playbook.
I completely agree with him. I think that's absolutely true. considering what the offense looked like when Cam was running it and what the offense looked like when Mac was running it, I completely think that Mac taught Cam the playbook. I think last year was all about Belichick throwing Cam the keys to the car and say, we don't have anybody else who's better. You do what you do, and we'll adjust the offense around.
That just means that Cam never learned the plays.
No, I don't think he did.
He never learned the plays.
Well, they created a new offense for him. You saw it in the first 2 weeks of the season, and then everyone caught on to it, and that was the end of his effectiveness for the year, especially after he caught COVID and came back. Everyone was ready for him when he came back.
Well, I mean, obviously, when they announced the whole Cam Newton being gone and Mac Jones, I mean, just instantly the season became a million times more interesting. And to add on top of it, Tommy Curran, we had Phil Perry on before he left. Tommy Curran and Phil Perry, they've been like two of the only people who the entire time were like, dude, it's going to be Mac Jones.
Right.
Like, they've been right about this the entire time. And it wasn't just because of what they saw with their eyes, like Jeff Howe was saying, but he seemed to intimate the entire time almost that there was a Bill Belichick reason as well before the cut was made that Mac Jones would be your starter. Well, Tom Curran doing a little peacocking, saying that he predicted everything that was that happened last year with the Patriots about their record. I think he nailed it, their record from last year.
He was off by one game. He said 8-8.
Oh, he was off by one game.
He
said they wouldn't make the playoffs,
right.
and he said 8-8. But then he also predicted that the Bucks would go 12-4 and that they would win the Super Bowl. So he's kind of peacocking now and said, well, since I was so right about that, here's my prediction for this season. And he says 11 wins for your New England Patriots.
That's too many.
11-6.
No.
Well, 11-6. And the reason that he kind of broke it down was he took a look at like the opposing quarterbacks that the team would be facing. First of all, the defense is going to be very good. Everyone knows the Patriots' defense can be very good.
Except for the secondary. Yes.
Well, I mean, how many games are we looking at for Stephon Gilmore?
At least six, maybe more. That's a significant amount.
So he takes a look at like the quarterbacks on the objectively good teams. Tom Brady, Josh Allen twice, Ryan Tannehill. And he said he's going to throw Baker Mayfield in there too. Those are the ones that he considers good. But then he says, here's ones that are good on bad to middling teams. Justin Herbert, Matt Ryan, Dak Prescott, Trevor Lawrence. So he said, so even those teams that have good quarterbacks,
Trevor Lawrence,
the teams themselves. No, because he said, then there are quarterbacks who are sub-good at this point. Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson twice, Tua twice, Carson Wentz, and Tyrod Taylor.
I would say, I would also say Justin Herbert and Dak Prescott might throw for 400 yards each against the secondary.
But he said that. He said that he thought they were good, but they were on middling to bad teams. And he's right about that. If you look at Justin Herbert, he's not on a great team. Justin Herbert, obviously, after 1 year, seems like he's going to eventually be a great quarterback. He was great last year. Matt Ryan, obviously not on a good team. Dak Prescott, that's going to be interesting to watch. And, of course, Trevor Lawrence, you've seen what kind of crap show he's been involved with.
I just don't know if Trevor Lawrence is good, but Zach Wilson's not. How dare he?
And he was talking about another reason for optimism, for his optimism, is that the front seven, he likes it, even though last year he goes, they stunk on two fronts last year. They couldn't stop the run. They couldn't rush the passer. He said, other than that, and he goes, but with Dante Hightower, your guy Kyle Van Noy, I'm back.
Yeah,
Judon and Christian Barmore, Henry Anderson, he said, added, and Josh Uche, totally different player in year two. He said the change for the better is going to be immediate. And he also talked about, the Belichick stuff like that, blah, 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 blah.
Well, people are going crazy. Like, we got an email, Dan, who said, Todd McShay says the Patriots 2021 draft class might be their best ever. Their best ever, he is saying.
So, I mean, there's so much that remains to be. I hate when they do that. No one's even played yet. You don't know how good these guys are going to be. Now, if Mac Jones ends up being...
Well, the NFL always plays off exactly how you would think.
Sure, of course it does. It's like the people who win the offseason always end up winning.
Yeah, there's never any... I mean, you just talked about it with Jeff Howe. I mean, who are the weapons?
Yeah, well, that's going to be interesting.
Offensively, who are their weapons?
Even if Mac Jones is very good... I mean, what's to say that Aguilar's not going to drop 100 balls? Like, we've seen him do a million times.
Like he did the last 3 weeks of camp.
Yeah.
He's not good. I think we can all agree in this room. Nelson Aguilar is wildly overpaid and drops far too many passes. No one knows what Kendrick Bourne is. I mean, he looked fine in the preseason, but no, he was the fourth receiver on a team that likes to run the football last year.
We don't know if the tight ends are going to stay healthy, how active they're going to be.
You got to assume is not going to stay healthy, and Jonnu Smith is all potential.
What you have is an offensive line you know is good and running backs that you know are good.
The running game will be great.
Yes,
not just front, good, it will be
the front seven. You know Matthew Judon's going to be good. You know the front seven is good.
The running game will be great if they can throw. I mean, if they're one-dimensional again, the running game is not
going to
be great.
I think he's going to be able to have competent enough receivers. That's the thing I'm most worried about. I think that Mac Jones almost seems like one of the guys you need to worry the least about when it comes to offensive ball movement, other than the running backs, of course. I've got no faith outside of Jacoby Myers. I have no faith in any of those receivers.
That's the thing. You know what Jacoby Myers is.
And Jacoby Myers is an undrafted kid that can't run.
Yeah, he's a slot receiver.
Yeah,
is what he is.
Yeah, he's a tough kid. That
the Patriots
runs...
have done very well with that type of player.
Yeah,
but Edelman was quick and Welker was quick.
Exactly.
I mean, this kid's not quick.
He figures out a way to get open.
He runs precise. I don't think he's slippery at all. I think that he runs precise.
He's smart.
Routes.
He's smart, is what he is.
Yeah, he's not a big yak guy. He's not someone who's going to go crazy.
Danny Woodhead with the yak. Is that what you're saying?
Wasn't Woodhead he the is Harlan Hart Trophy. I mean, they don't just hand those out. Harlan Hill Trophy.
Harlan Hart, you could say that as well. But he talks about how, the Tampa game even previews that as well, Tommy Curran. And I was just thinking about it. Like, looking at the first 3 weeks of the schedule, listen, there is a chance that the Patriots could go into that game undefeated.
There's a chance. There's a chance.
Out of the hype that is already at a fever pitch for that game, if they go into that game undefeated, dude, it's going to be unreal. First of all, the ticket prices are already insane. But if he goes into that undefeated, like, you're not going to be able to turn on ESPN that entire week and not see Mac Jones's face compared with Tom Brady. Yeah. And it's going to be like the heir apparent, you know, the apprentice. It's going to be, and Fred, if they win, if the Patriots win, I'm not even going to come in that day. I'm going to just let you sit and answer phones all morning long and just sit there and take it, because it's going to be unbelievable how much you're going to get killed.
If the Patriots win that game, regardless of what the records are, if the Patriots somehow win that game and beat Brady, who's been pointing towards this from since the second he left the franchise.
It's so funny, man. Because, well, that's not going to happen. But first of all, it's so funny because if you listen to anyone nationally, which I did all week, I mean, in college guys that watched, you know, Mac Jones all through college and guys that are familiar with the Alabama program, I mean, Mac Jones was drafted 15th overall, and he was the fifth quarterback drafted for a reason. I mean, I just think it's funny that now Mac Jones is because he beat out garbage Cam Newton is all of a sudden the second coming, which a lot of people, writing in 11 wins, just, you know, writing in that he's, you know, like Rich just said, that he's the guy you have to worry about the least. I mean,
that's not even praise towards Mac Jones. That's more me worrying about the wide receiver.
The best draft ever.
Well, you've even seen these guys play in NFL.
All of this is absolute nuts. He's going to have a game. We talked about this last week at length. He's going to have a game where he throws three or four interceptions. He's going to have a game where he takes a couple of bad sacks and costs this team the ball game. There are going to be games like that. He's a rookie quarterback. Regardless, Trevor Lawrence is going to have games like this. Trey Lance is going to have games like this. Justin Fields is going to have games like this. Zach Wilson will have games like this. And I would love to know what fans are going to say then after all of this. Because Rich isn't alone. There are a lot of guys, Patriots fans that are saying this. And that's nuts. 11 wins from a rookie quarterback?
Oh, by the way, that's not my opinion. That's Tommy Curran's. I think they're going to make the playoffs, though. I do think they'll make the playoffs.
I think they're a borderline playoff team.
I think they'll make it.
They're an 8 or 9 win team. Under the best of circumstances, they could win 10 and make the playoffs. Because, again, there's that third wild card this year.
Yeah.
So they have an increased chance going 9-8 to make the playoffs. But to think this team's going to win 11 or 12 games, you're nuts.
Well, how many games did the Dolphins win last year?
I think they won 10 or 11. They just missed the playoffs.
And they missed the playoffs.
Yeah, they were 10-6, I think.
They also had a different quarterback.
Well, no, they had Tua. Well, and Fitzpatrick.
Fitzpatrick was the guy.
At the beginning, and then they changed it during the bye week.
No, and then
they
what
changed
happened?
It again.
So Fitzpatrick was effective for them. Remember, it was such like a bit, everyone was like freaking out that Fitzpatrick got pissed.
Well, they screwed to it. I mean, they moved things around, and they did what you don't want to do, which isn't an option for this team now. I mean, Mac Jones is it. I mean, there's no one else sitting there.
He's a guy.
So
I have no trouble with making this decision and just throwing the keys to the car to the kid, but at the best thing you can say about this is that it accelerates your future.
Yes.
Instead of 2 or 3 years down the road, the kid takes his lumps this year, and next year you're good. I mean, the whole thing about Mac Jones was, yeah, he's not the most gifted physically, but A, he'll assimilate an NFL offense faster than anybody else in his draft class, and B, he'll never be better than a 7 or 8 out of 10. That was the scouting report on him.
This is kind of funny because we've even kind of hinted around to this, but one of our listeners said, am I the only one hoping that some COVID issue causes the Tampa Patriots game to be a big letdown? Like Sunday morning, it's announced that Brady is out by some contact tracing issue and everyone loses their minds. I was wondering, like, what if they found out on Saturday or Sunday morning that Tom Brady was in close contact with somebody, or for some reason
he's vaccinated. He doesn't have to sit out.
I think you have to sit out for, I think it's like, or you have to have like a positive, I forget.
If you're in close contact, you don't have to sit out if you're vaccinated.
Not close contact. Let's say that he tests positive.
He would have to get COVID.
Like, let's say he tests positive like that. Like, there's part of me that wonders if the NFL machine would bury that information for that game, for the biggest game of the regular season in how many years? Tom Brady's return. I mean, if there's one time where you think that the NFL might just say, all right, well, maybe we just let this go.
Three of their first four games are tough games.
Three of their first four?
He's eliminating the Jets. He thinks Miami, New Orleans, Tampa, right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, they're tough, but they're not unwinnable. I mean, there's a chance they could be 3-0. It's not like they're not playing anyone like the Chiefs or anything crazy like that. They're playing three teams that
the Saints
could beat.
The Saints are probably going to be a playoff team.
I know, but they got Jameis Winston, who could throw four picks
But their defense is very, very good, right?
It's very good.
Yep.
But once again, you might have more defensive scores for the Patriots than you do offensive.
It just depends on how well. I mean, Mac Jones has never played a regular season game. There's you know, joint practice speed, there's preseason speed, and then there's regular season speed.
Oh, yeah. He could go
with
out there
the ones
and be a disaster,
out there
yep.
all the time instead of the twos half the time you're in. There's going to be a learning curve. I mean, if you're expecting Mac Jones in week one to go out and go 20 for 29 for 300 yards and three touchdowns, I think that's asking a little bit too much.
I may expect him to be better than Tua, though. Like, is that too much to,
no.
is that a hot
Tua,
take?
Because Tua might not be any good. I mean, there's, you know, rumors about them going after Deshaun Watson. All right, we got a break. We'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.